Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
All right, Doug is off today, but we are in the capable hands of Denise Schreiber, Mrs. Know-It-All, a real star in this industry, author of Eat Your Roses, Pansies, and Lavender, and 49 other delicious flowers by St. Lynn's Press. You may want to pick that up for the holiday season. She's a national speaker, retired ISA certified arborist, All-American Selection trial judge, GardenCom, and associate of Association of Gardening, and yes, she's here with us today to take your phone calls at 866-391-1020. So it's gardening all day until at least 8 with Mrs. Know-It-All. So get on the phone. Denise Schreiber is here in for the vacationing Doug Oster. He's in Iceland. Why we feel as though we're in Iceland. The winter weather has definitely made us all realize that old man winter is on his way. But there's still plenty to do, especially with indoor gardening and things of that nature and those seed catalogs and more. But we always begin the show by giving you an opportunity to get a gift certificate from Sorgles in Wexford if you're the 10th caller at 412-922-1020. Denise, though, wants to talk about Christmas trees from Fraser fir to Scotch pines and the best way to take care of them, because it'll be just about time to go over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house and pick up that holiday Christmas tree, which is a staple in households throughout the world. Denise, it's great to have you back. Good morning. And yes, winter has shown up in western Pennsylvania, has it not?
I'm glad in a way. I'm glad for the rain. I don't care about the cold. You know, it doesn't need to be 90 degrees again. You know, I'm quite happy with 60. It works for me very well. But I'm glad we have the rain. And even with this rain, we're still going to be under our normal water table. So, you know, we need rain. We could have like one day of really good rain and then have it stop and be nice.
You know, so let me ask you, you know, a lot of people will say to me when I'm not here, hey, how can I find out more about Denise Schreiber and where can I pick up these books? And is she still speaking and what is she doing? So give me the once over before we kind of get into today's show so people can get caught up with your life. Go ahead.
Okay. So the book is out of print, but you can pick up copies on Amazon. You might check someplace like Half Price Books, too. I am on Facebook as Mrs. Know-It-All. You can email me if you want me to come speak to your group at edibleflowers1@aol.com. I am running around. I'm sure Doug will be doing the same thing. We'll both be at a trade show in January. February, I'm actually speaking to the Pennsylvania Landscape Nursery Association out in Lancaster for their annual conference. March, I'll be heading out to the Philadelphia Flower Show. And then gardening season begins, you know, outdoors. So we'll be having a lot of fun then. But, you know, you can always get me if somebody wants me to come speak. I just put in a request to speak at community college, doing a class on how to pitch to editors if you want to start writing for a magazine or you have an idea for a book. So hopefully I'll be doing that. We'll see. I think it'll run. And then you can always find me. People seem to find, I walked into Lowe's the other day and to return something, a lady turned around. She said, Mrs. Know-It-All. So you can find me in normal places, too.
So let me ask you also, certified arborist, how does one become a certified arborist? I've often wondered that.
There are classes that Penn State holds. It is, I'm trying to think, I did it while I was working. So it was like a week of training, like 8 hours a day, and they cover everything from tree care, like pruning, to actually being able to climb a tree and the proper safety equipment. You are not required to climb a tree because I would have never done it otherwise, but it covers all that. It's certified by an organization called the International Society of Arboriculture. It's based out of Illinois, and they're the ones that certify all these classes. You just can't go in and say, well, I know how to prune a tree, and that makes me an arborist. No, it doesn't. There's a lot of education that goes into becoming an arborist. I know I'm considered retired because I no longer pay to have that certification. You do have to pay for that certification. And, you know, since I'm not actively doing that, I can give somebody advice on, you know, maybe some tree diseases or insects or damage, but I can't say I'm an ISA arborist. I am a retired one.
All right, fair enough. Now, we're going to get to Christmas trees, but we also want you to know that we would love to hear from you today. She loves talking to you about all of your gardening questions, 866-391-1020. So one thing before we talk Christmas trees, what about staying busy? Even though you definitely deserve a rest and you need a rest if you're a gardener this time of year, rolling into the winter and obviously early spring, but what are some of the things that people do this time of year to just kind of stay focused and keep their hand in that whole thing that is gardening? Some of the things that you can do during the winter months. I talked about, you know, seed planting indoors, you know, there's seed catalogs, lots of things to do. But what do you do when you just feel as though you want to do a little just to stay in touch with what you love?
Well, I actually have some houseplants. I have some succulents that unfortunately our new grand dog thought would be quite tasty. And she jumped up on my couch, got up to my window, grabbed one of the plants and ran off with it. So I ended up having to repot it. So I am looking at what I want to do for next year in the garden. And it's just not, oh, I want to grow tomatoes or that sort of thing. I actually took pictures, kind of a panoramic thing, of all my flower beds and the vegetable garden and everything, to sit down and just take a piece of graph paper. And you don't have to be an artist. It doesn't have to be to scale. You'll have an idea of how big things are. And look, well, this plant did really well. This plant's been here for 3 years, and it's terrible, and it's coming out. And I know that people are like, eh, I don't want to take it out. Yeah, sometimes you have to because it's just not worth your effort. There are plants that people say are just wonderful plants, and you buy it, and you plant it, and you're like, what were they saying? I still plant a few things. I actually have scallions, green onions, and when the ground's soft, I actually go out and pop three or four into the ground, you know, in my garden, and I love green onions and things, and so I can go out and harvest them pretty much throughout the season. There's still time, believe it or not, to plant your daffodils, your, you know, tulips, you know, whatever type of bulb you like to have in the spring, there's still plenty of time to do that. Is it the best weather? Probably not, but it'll get you outside and you can get them in the ground. I always put a little bone meal with mine, or actually bulb tone. In fact, when I plant my garlic, not too late to plant your garlic or shallots, and I put bulb tone with them. I have to tell you, my garlic last year was so big, they were like softballs. I could have swung them in the air and killed somebody with them. And then, you know, the seed catalogs are starting to come in. You need to learn how to read one. You know, the pictures, oh, it's pretty. And then you look at it and it says, germination is slow. You know, it takes, you know, blooms a second year, you know, for a lot of biennials. And then you have the ones that are like very aggressive or, you know, an enthusiastic grower, which is a word for don't plant this anywhere where you don't want it because you'll never get rid of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me get a break in here, and we'll come back on the other side and get to your gardening questions. Mrs. Know-It-All, Denise Schreiber, pinch hitting for the vacationing Doug Oster, who is watching the Northern Lights and enjoying Iceland. He'll be back with us next week. Maybe some Christmas and Hanukkah gift ideas when it comes to the gardener in your household. But today we're focusing on Douglas fir and blue spruce and Scotch pine, best Christmas trees, when to get them, shelf life, how long can they last, best way to take care of them. So give us a call, 866-391-1020. Good morning. All right, your chance to talk to Denise Schreiber, the one and only Mrs. Know-It-All, is with us today for the vacationing Doug, who'll be back next week. So if you have a gardening question, let's get going. 866-391-1020, especially some things you're looking at as far as the out of season. All right, so 866-391-1020. But she's here today to talk Christmas trees. And, you know, obviously I love the Scotch pine, but they're all nice. The question is, what do you think, Mrs. Know-It-All? Go ahead.
Well, you know, there's all kind of Christmas trees that you can buy. And it also depends on whether you are the one that goes over the hill, not quite to grandma's house, but to the tree farm to pick your own, cut your own. Or you can go to one of the tree lots, you know, around the city and just say, I want that one. And they'll bind it up and you can take it home. But, you know, when you're buying a tree, you've got to think about what kind of tree you want. So a Douglas fir is a medium to long needle tree with dark green needles, and it's one of the best ones for actually you're holding its knees indoors. Its needles indoors, not its knees. The Fraser fir is very popular. When you look at a Fraser fir, the undersides are very silvery. I will tell you that they really don't grow well here. They're brought in from places like North Carolina. And a lot of those tree farms were destroyed in those hurricanes and the mudslides and everything. So if you do see it, you know, pick one up. It's also supporting those people who have to actually rebuild those farms for us. And so, yeah, they're probably going to be a little more expensive this year. You know, but it's you can support somebody that way, too. Concolor firs are one of my favorites. A lot of people confuse it with the blue spruce, but the difference is the needles are soft. It's almost a plastic feel, but the branches are pretty strong. My least favorite ones is the blue spruce, the Norway spruce, and the white spruce. They're better off actually being outside because, to be honest with you, when you bring them in and, you know, your house is kind of warm and you're going to sit there going, did the cat go pee in the corner? Because that's what they kind of smell like when they're indoors. And then, you know, the white pine has that beautiful pine fragrance that everybody loves. It's not great for heavy ornaments, but, you know, you can also use it, you know, just as greens throughout the house. And then you like the Scotch pine, and then it's a little more open, but it's good for the dangly type of ornaments that people have. But I got to tell you, when you bring them home, you can do what my Aunt Margie used to do. She would take it down to the back porch, and she would get the hose out, and she would hose it off. And the reason for doing that was, you know, some of these get dragged through the mud. You know, you're still going to have some loose needles in there. And she would hose it off, and she'd have this beautiful Christmas tree. You know, so it's always a good idea. When you bring your tree home, and I don't care what kind of tree is, make sure you take off at least 4 to 6 inches off the bottom, and then get it into your water holder. You can, they sell, what do you call it? Like, not fertilizer, but it's food for the tree to kind of keep it going throughout. You never, ever want to let your tree dry out. Skip the bleach and aspirin and all of that. That's dangerous. If you have pets, they're going to get into it. This stuff, you know, you can have it, you know, cover it up, and it's much better for your tree. And you always want to, when you're buying your tree, take the needles, and a few will come off, but you want to squeeze the needles and see, like, bend it, and if it snaps really easily, that means the tree's kind of old, and you want to look for one that kind of passes the sniff test, so to speak. You know, but if you're putting lights on your tree, don't go overboard with them, because even the LEDs will help dry it out faster. If you can keep it in a cooler room, you know, you don't have to freeze everybody out, but kind of keep the temperature down or keep it away from your heating vents. That'll help your tree last longer. And then after the holidays, when you take your tree down, take all the ornaments off, take all the lights off, you can go to any number of places in the county parks, in the city parks. There's places that you can take your tree to. They will be recycled into mulch and kind of go back to nature, so to speak, rather than just putting it in, you know, for your garbage pickup and back into the landfill.
All right, great stuff, Mrs. Noto. Good information. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to break for the news, come back, give you that opportunity to win that Janoski's gift certificate, and then right to your calls about gardening. So if you got something that's seen better days, you want to do it better next year, or you're just thinking about maybe something you can do during the off season to get ready to, well, take off and have a much better season when that season arrives in just about 4 or 5 months from now. It'll be here before you know it, but it's always nice to look back this time of year, rest a little bit, and get recharged and get going again. That's why we do this show each and every week on KDKA. Doug is off today, but in his place, the incredible talent of Mrs. Know-It-All, Denise Schreiber. We're opening up the phones to take your questions now at 866-391-1020. Good morning. All right, back with your Pratt Pack. Uncle Dougie enjoying the weekend off. He is in Iceland viewing the Northern Lights and checking out the plant and flowers and everything that is what he does. But he'll be back with us next week. You can always follow him at DougOster.com. Now, if you're the 10th caller, you're going to win an amazing $25 gift certificate for a sea of poinsettias and more that awaits you during the holiday season. Open house December 7th and 8th at Janoski's in Clinton. You can be the 10th caller to get that. So 412-922-1020. The 10th caller wins a $25 gift certificate to Janoski's. All right, Mrs. Know-It-All pinch hitting today, doing a fabulous job as always. But you have that knowledge at your fingertips, just a phone call away. So if you have any gardening question, don't waste this opportunity to talk to Denise Schreiber, Mrs. Know-It-All, at 866-391-1020. So back to Christmas trees for a moment. Best case scenario, how long can they really last? 3 weeks, 4 weeks? Or also when it comes to the, well, folklore of sugar water and more, what can you do to quench their thirst to keep those pine needles a little bit greener for a little bit longer? Mrs. Know-It-All.
So one of the things you can do is actually even change out the water. And I will tell you, once you put it in for the first time into the water mixture, that tree is going to suck it up a lot. It'll be almost empty the next day. So adding fresh mixture to it every week would really help it, you know, because the tree really needs those nutrients to keep it. Something else you can do before you bring the tree into the house, but after you've kind of give it the Aunt Margie's bath outside, let it dry. And there's a product called Wiltproof. There's another one called Wiltstop. And it helps reduce the loss of moisture from most evergreens. I mean, you wouldn't want to use it like on an arborvitae or anything like that. But you can use it on the trees, and that will really help them last. You could probably get 3 weeks out of it. But at that point, then the tree's going to start saying, you know, I'm kind of done. But using that will really help prolong the life of the tree.
You know, when I think of people getting trees, one of the biggest mistakes that they do, and we did it in my household one year, we decided to take a tree down that was impairing the vision of the driveway to get back out onto the highway. And you know, it's kind of like the kid in the candy store. Your eyes are always eyes are always bigger than your stomach, right? So we bring this tree in, and the next thing you know, we would have thought we brought the tallest evergreen from the forest of someplace like Oregon and tried to shove it into that little ranch home in New Brighton, Pennsylvania. So how do you measure things up when it comes to what tree, especially if you want to make the pilgrimage with your family and get out to one of these tree farms and cut one of these beauties down and bring it home, Mrs. Know-It-All?
Well, figure out where you're going to put the tree. Some people move their trees around every year. Mine go in the same place because of the layout of my home. And take a tape measure with you and measure it out is the best way. Now, remember, you're still going to be taking it off at the ground level or very close to it. And then you want to figure out how much you want to take off the trunk. Now, remember, you're going to be cutting it off when you get it home, too. And that would be the best way to do it. Now, I have to tell you a story since you just shared that one, that a friend of mine wanted a bald and burlap tree so he could plant it in his yard after the holidays. It was like a 10-foot tree. Now, he had the space for it. What he didn't count on was having the weight. He ended up getting a friend of his who had a bobcat to actually lift it and bring it to the house, and then discovered that it wasn't going to fit through the front door or the back door or the basement door. So the tree ended up living outside, decorated. And if you buy a bald and burlap tree with that, you want to get one you can actually move, you know, to plant, and you want to keep it very well watered. But after that, he just got a cut tree and put that in the house because he knew it would fit.
You know, it seems to me everything that's old is new again. You know, I kind of grew up and went to that very horrible stage where they were using the aluminum foiled trees that had the multicolored light that was spinning at a very slow RPM underneath it, to the artificial tree inception and, you know, the very big bulky type of thing. And then it kind of went away. Real trees started to pop back in the 80s, and they started to dance away a little bit because of some of these LED lights and the thing already having the lights on it. But it seems as though people, especially young couples, want to go out to these tree farms and actually cut down their own tree and kind of like a Christmas story, create their own tradition. So I guess everything that's old is new again. But there's a real big trend out there for people going to these tree farms, Mrs. Know-It-All.
Yeah, and it's, you know, when you have small children and, you know, a lot of people have very busy lives, you know, besides the kids running to soccer games, swimming lessons, baseball, you know, you name it. But this is something the whole family can actually do together. And, you know, they make it a day of it. So not only do they cut the tree down, they may have breakfast beforehand at some little local diner. And then, you know, go cut the tree, bring it home, maybe have, you know, some hot chocolate and an easy dinner, you know, maybe something like just having spaghetti or, you know, like a hot roast beef sandwich and gravy. And it's something the whole family can enjoy.
Yeah, that's for sure. You know, the other thing, too, I have to ask you this. I mean, from Mrs. Know-It-All to having it all when it comes to gardening, what do you like to receive in the way of a gift? What is something you can always use for your passion? What is it?
Gift cards to my favorite nurseries and garden centers.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, you know, and I tell you, and I write a Christmas column for one of the little local papers. And I tell people when they're getting ideas for, you know, to give to a gardener friend or whatever, you know, one of the most, you know, you could buy them a couple loads of mulch. And, you know, but you have to have it help them spread it too, you know, but a gift of your time, whether it's helping dig the garden or, you know, maybe picking all those tomatoes or, you know, just anything in the garden, you know, the gift of time. But you really have to make sure you follow through with it.
You know, you mentioned these wonderful places like the Sorgels of the world, like the Janoskis of the world. Man, even if you just started or thinking about it, or you just want to go see what they have, I mean, in many cases, great produce and gift ideas and crafts, they're wonderful to do some holiday shopping, especially with Black Friday just around the bend, right?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, one thing about Sorgals, besides their frosted chocolate brownies, is they have a great selection of old world Christmas ornaments. And so my one tree, because I have three big trees, yes, they're artificial. I have two cats that think it's a great place to play. And what I do is I have a tree and I call it my food and garden tree. And I have all kind of food and garden items. And the old world Christmas actually has like garden boots or tricolored carrot ornaments. And, you know, and it varies from year to year. But so I have that, you know, so when people come to my house going, oh, that's a good idea, you know, to have those kind of ornaments there. There's homemade ornaments on there. I mean, I have a lot of expensive ornaments. I have the ornaments my daughter made in preschool. So, you know, I'm not one of those purists that it only can be a certain type of ornament, you know, or the one thing somebody told me, oh, it only has to have red bows and white lights. And I just wanted to throw up because how boring can that be? But yeah, you know, you can go there and buy all these things. You can go and get plants like Christmas cactus, you know, which are blooming right now. Very easy to propagate for the next year if you want to give it as a gift to somebody. You know, poinsettias. You know, there's the, the topiaries of like rosemary and lavender. You know, you can have them, and then come springtime, you can go plant them outside. So it's kind of a gift that keeps on giving. You know, you can eat both of them. So in a way, you know, you've got food right there.
All right. Great stuff. Mrs. Noda, one more segment. We'll come back to wrap it up. And again, you're always welcome to jump in here with any question you may have. 866-391-1020. Next hour, getting ready for Turkey Day, sides, and of course, the main dish idea that is to delicious turkey on the Coons Cooking. And then we're back at Open Talk at 9. Lots of things to pick up on from the 5 o'clock hour. And then it's Accurate Solutions. And then we have a lot to talk about on that Black and Gold Sunday show brought to you by Coons Market, a Pittsburgh tradition. Yesterday, in case you missed it, WPIL Championship Saturday, Fort Cherry over Clairton. It was South Park clinching their third title in their school's history. They beat Seton LaSalle. Avonworth back-to-back champs as they defeated Central Valley in a 3A matchup. And then Pine Richland, who lost to Peters Township last year, came back to recapture the title in Class 5A. Pitt, a miserable game against Louisville. Steelers are off today, but a lot to get to there. And Sidney Crosby got goal number 600, but it wasn't enough as they lost to Utah. So we've got that coming up. Much more to come today before we are done, so stay where you're at. But again, if you have a question for Mrs. Know-It-All, Denise Shriver, don't miss this opportunity. 866-391-1020. It's your Pratt Pack. Good morning. All right, Phil, good story from Instant Access. How long does a Christmas tree last? How about 70 years? My parents planted their first Christmas tree in the backyard of their new property. Ever since, it's been thriving, and I can see it from my kitchen window while enjoying coffee. That's great stuff. Thank you for that. Lots of folks now, all of a sudden, phones have lit up. They want to talk to Mrs. Know-It-All. We just have a couple of minutes left, so let's see how many we can get on here. Let's go to Dawn in Katanning. Dawn, you're on the air with Mrs. Know-It-All. Welcome to KDKA.
Yes, it's good to talk to you, Denise. I always enjoy your segment. Anyway, I have a couple dahlias that were just small, and I was wanting to overwinter them because of the colors they were. I had dark purple, and anyway, how should I do that? I have them in a cold storage area right now, like a garage type humidity and such, and how can I keep them over?
Okay, well, I got to tell you, dahlias are one of the more tricky tubers to overwinter, but you want to clean off all the soil, and then you want to wrap it in a slightly damp paper towel, or you can put it in a small box, like a, I don't know how many you have, like a shoe box.
I just have a couple.
Yeah. And fill it with vermiculite. You can get small bags of it at garden centers. Some of them may have it put away, but you could always ask them for it and actually store it in there and then put it in a room or an area where it doesn't freeze. So, you know, some place where it's cool, like an unfinished basement in the dark. You know, you could also put it in your garage if it doesn't freeze, and I would still keep it away from the door opening to, you know, keep the temperature a little more even.
All right, Dawn, thank you for the call. Let's get one more. Diana in Blonox wants to talk irises. Go ahead. You got about 2 minutes. You're on the air. Welcome to KDKA.
Okay, I have irises that seem to be coming up new, and I was wondering if there's any way to keep them from being lost this winter. Or will they survive?
Are they coming up now?
Yeah, they seem to be just sprouting new.
Well, you know what? I've seen plants actually blooming that aren't supposed to be blooming. They will be fine since typically have the irises outdoor. They should be fine.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
You got about a minute, Mrs. Know-It-All. Closing comments. Go ahead.
Quick story, actually. The person who was talking about the tree. My dad used to plant a Christmas tree, as he called them, every year on my birthday when I was little. And after six of them, my mother said, you can't plant anymore. Well, the little Christmas tree turned out to be Norway spruces. And so I no longer live in the house. And the people who have owned it over the years have cut down all but one of the trees. So every year I drive past the house. It's at 7120 Whipple Street in Swissvale. And you can still see the one tree that's a zillion feet high. And it's still there. And it's a good memory of my dad.
That's good stuff. Absolutely love it. Mrs. Know-It-All, we'll talk again. Have a great rest of your day. You're the best. All right, stay with us. News coming up. And then we're talking turkey and sides and Thanksgiving. With Frank Dentici on the Coons Cooking Hour on KDKA. It's your Pratt Pack. Good morning.